Hi, listeners. We are still continuing on the messages of building up the body of Christ so each member can grow up into Christ to be changed and transformed into the image of Christ and grow up into the full measure and the fullness of Christ so that they can carry Jesus to the world. Now, this is our calling. This is the work that God has given us to accomplish on earth, to take Jesus to the world. And we are to be so changed and transformed into His image that His image is being reflected through our lives wherever we are. Now His image is reflected through us so others can see Him through our lives. God has chosen to display Himself and to reveal Himself to this world through His believers. Now He could have chosen another way to reveal Himself to others, but He chose to use His people, the born-again believers, to be the vessels to carry His glory to others, to show forth His glory to others. We are vessels of glory. We carry His glory in us. Now, as we go into the scriptures, I want to read Luke 17:21, which I also read in my last message. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God is within you. That means God has placed Himself in the heart of human beings that are born again, that are born of God, so that He can display His glory to others, and as a result, it brings glory to His name. Now, when Jesus lived on this earth, He displayed God to the world. Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." In Colossians 2:9 says, "For in Him, in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." So when Jesus walked on this earth, God the Father was walking in Him. God the Father was living through Him. Let's go to John 14:10 says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does His works." So when Jesus walked on this earth, the Father was abiding in Him, and everything that He said and the works that He did, it was the Father doing it through Him. Now Jesus has gone to heaven, and we have been given the privilege of displaying God to the world so that just like Jesus, we can accomplish God's will on earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. Going back to Luke 17:21, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." Now, how did this kingdom come in? It came in when we got born again. When we got born again, we are born of God in our spirit man, and the Holy Spirit came to live in us. The reason we have the kingdom of God in us is because God is living in us. Now, Jesus came to live in us through the Holy Spirit when we got born again. Now, Jesus is in the Father and the Father is in the Son. And now He's living in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That means we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit abiding in us, living in us. Now, we have to stop and think, why would God choose to come and live in us? What was the purpose of God to choose to come and live in us? What was the purpose? God always has a purpose for doing things. The reason is so we can be like Jesus on this earth to continue to carry on His ministry that He started 2,000 years ago. We are continuing on that ministry on this earth. Now he came to reconcile man to God. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says that God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So we have been given the word of reconciliation, or ministry of reconciliation, which Jesus came to accomplish. He has come and he has accomplished that work of reconciling man to God through the sacrifice he paid on the cross, and he died and rose again. Now he has gone into heaven. Now he has come in to live in us through the Holy Spirit, so he can continue his work on earth until he returns. He's still continuing his work he started until he returns. He finished the part of redemption. He paid the price to redeem us. But the work of reconciliation of man, is still being continued through you and I as he uses us to touch lives. So, going back to Luke 17:21, it says the kingdom of God is within you. Kingdom of God is within us. Now, the kingdom of God represents everything of God. Kingdom of God will represent his character, his nature, his attributes, his power, his authority, his vision, his heart for mankind, all of the glorious riches of heaven. All these things are part of the kingdom of God. Now, the main purpose that he has given us is to display his glory to others. God wants to use each one of us to display his glory to others. Jesus said that the kingdom of God, when it comes like a seed, and as it grows, we begin to grow in Christ and we begin to bring forth fruit. Now, how are we going from that seed? How are we going to grow into all that God has for us and to be able to understand the things of the kingdom and how it operates and how we can live as the citizens of that kingdom and bring forth fruit to glorify God? Now, that's the question. How are we going to go from the point of when we get born again? How are we going to get that little seed to grow up, to expand, to grow in us, so we can be citizens of that kingdom in the full potential that we can operate in the full potential that we can walk in? When we get born again, it's a seed, but we are to grow up. And as we grow up, we are able to and have greater potential to operate in the things of God, in the kingdom of God. And I say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is living in us. Now, we have to grow in that knowledge so we can begin to operate in the kingdom of God and live and walk in the kingdom of God the way that he designed us to walk, so that we can display him to the world. Now, this is a process, but God has come to live in us to show us the way. We don't have to figure this out ourselves, because he knows we can't. We don't have the wisdom. But we have the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Now, let's go to John 14:16-17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That he may be with you forever. Verse 17. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. He will be with you and he will be in you. After his death and his resurrection, he went to heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit. And since that time, when people get born again, Holy Spirit comes in to live in us. He is the Spirit of Truth. Now, Holy Spirit comes to live in us as the Spirit of Truth so that He can reveal God to us as we read the Word and spend time with Him. So we can begin to know God and begin to operate in the kingdom the way that was intended, so we can bring forth fruit as we display God to the world. Now, God's whole purpose is to plant His kingdom in our hearts, and then through the Spirit of Truth to teach us His ways, His nature, His character, His attributes, His power and His authority, so that we can come into the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ. Now, I read in Colossians 2:9 that the fullness of the deity lives in Christ bodily. God wants others to see the fullness of Christ through His believers. So through the Spirit of Truth, as He teaches us and guides us into different areas of His truth, as He begins to teach us, as we begin to grow in His truth, we are coming into a greater knowledge of Him. As a result, we can correctly represent Him to others. Because the world has a marred picture of God. Most of the time when bad things happen and all the chaos and the heartache and the evil that is going throughout this earth, people most of the time credit all bad things as God's doing. And God has nothing to do with them. God is not the author of violence, death, destruction, heartache, or sickness or disease. But people tend to credit God with all the bad things that they go through in life. Even the believers do tend to do this, credit God with all the bad things that come their way. Why? Because they do not have a right picture of God. Because they do not understand His ways, His goodness, and His love, His compassion, His kindness. After the fall, the knowledge of God got twisted. And the way the people perceive God was marred and corrupt. So they don't see this incorruptible, perfect, holy God the way He is. Their concept of God is twisted, is marred, is corrupt. So here God comes in to live in the hearts and the lives of the born-again believers, and He wants to reveal Himself once again to this fallen world the way He is. And the only way He can do is giving the born-again believers a proper understanding and a knowledge of Him, so they begin to understand God the way He is. Not a concept of a theology. Not a concept of man thinks who God is like. No, the true image of God. So He comes into living us through the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Truth. And the Spirit of Truth begins to reveal God into our hearts so that our minds can be changed and transformed. And we begin to understand who God is like. We are born again. We are born of God. Now we have to come to know Him the way He is, so that we can properly represent God to others. This is what God wants us as believers to accomplish in these last days. There are multitudes of people out there that wants to know God. They have no interest in theology. They have no interest in church religion. But they want to know God the way He is. When a person comes in contact with the living God and knows Him the way He is, the unsearchable depth of His love, His compassion, His kindness, His goodness, my friends, they cannot resist Him.
It brings them to repentance. The goodness of God brings people to repentance. And He wants to show the people His goodness, His love, His compassion. As He begins to reveal those things into the hearts of the believers, and as the believers begin to grasp and understand and comprehend these truths through the help of the Spirit of Truth that lives in us, all at once our eyes of understanding begins to be enlightened and we begin to understand our calling. Now, what is our calling? In Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory, from the day I get born again and throughout eternity. It is not just for future. It is from the moment I get born again. The moment you get born again, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Now, in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What is the hope of His calling in you and I? Christ in us, the hope of glory. That means the calling that you and I have is to take Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's your calling. That's my calling. To take to the world Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's our calling. Christ in us, the hope of glory, for us to take it to others. In order for us to take Christ in us, the hope of glory, to others, we have to have the understanding, the Christ in us. We know Christ in me is the hope of glory, but do we know this Christ that lives in us? Do we know Him the way He is, so we can represent Him to others the way He is? The only way we can do is through the Spirit of Truth, by depending on the Spirit of Truth and on the Word of God. That's the only way we can do it. The only way we can correctly and precisely represent Christ to the world, Christ who lives in us, the hope of glory to the world, is through the help of the Holy Spirit as He reveals the Word to us. So we have to know the Word, and we have to have the revelation of the Holy Spirit to the Word, so we can begin to understand Christ and develop a relationship with Him. And as we grow in that relationship, we begin to know Him, so we can properly represent Him to others. So there are concepts of Christ, there are concepts of God that was warped and marred, can be changed, and they can come into a true knowledge of Christ. Display God not only to unbelievers but also believers, because there are many believers that still have not come into a true knowledge of the one they are serving. They are saved, but they have not grown into that place of maturity and a relationship with Him. So their concept of God still is that marred concept that they had when they were still in the world. They have not come to the place of renewing their minds to come to know Him the way He is. So God can use you to minister to another believer, to bring them into a greater knowledge of God. And God can also use you to bring an unbeliever to a knowledge of God and to a place of repentance and believe, put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go back to John 16, starting from verse 13. John 16:13. But when He, the Spirit of Truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. Jesus is the truth. And when the Spirit of Truth comes, He will guide you into all truth.
Why? So that we can know God. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. He will glorify Jesus. The work of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus. He glorifies Jesus when he draws people to repentance, and when they put their faith and trust in Jesus. He glorifies Jesus when sinners come to God. And he glorifies Jesus when he shows us things in the Word so that we can be changed and transformed to the image of Christ. It glorifies Jesus. When we operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it glorifies Jesus because it shows his power and his authority to others. Verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. All things that the Father has are mine. Now think of that for a moment. Everything Father has belongs to Jesus. And as born again believers, we are joint heirs with Jesus. So if we are joint heirs with Jesus, and Jesus has been entrusted all things that the Father has, then as joint heirs, we also have the access through Jesus to what the Father has, because it has all been entrusted to the Son, and we have access to all that as we have received the Son into our lives. We are joint heirs. So Jesus has come to live in us, and as a result, we have access to what God the Father has, because he says, all things that the Father has are mine. Just think about the vast riches of God's glory, his power, his presence, his authority, all that God is, that is available to us because he lives in us and his kingdom is in us. Think of the greatness that God has placed in the lives of the born-again believers. My friends, God wants to give a revelation exceedingly surpassing greatness of the inheritance that we have in Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we can carry this surpassing greatness of God's glory through Jesus Christ that lives in us to others. So the world begins to see who God is like. So the concept of God in their minds can be changed, and they can behold the true and living God through the lives of his believers, as their lives have been so changed and transformed as the Spirit of truth gives them the revelation. Now let's go to Ephesians 1:17. Paul is praying this prayer under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, how is the Father is going to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him? Through the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit that lives in us. He is the Spirit of truth. Therefore, he will only reveal truth into our hearts. So, as we read the word, which is the truth, the Spirit of truth has the ability to reveal God to us through the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. The Spirit of truth will give us the Spirit of wisdom so we can know God and see God and come into relationship with him to know him the way he is. Revelation in the knowledge of him. Spirit of truth is the only one who can release the revelation, the proper knowledge of God into our hearts. He's the only one who can do that. Our mind cannot comprehend because our mind has been corrupted by the fall. Therefore, the Spirit of truth has to give us the revelation into our spirit man so that our spirit man begin to understand the way God is, and then that, as a result, our minds are being renewed. So we begin to see God the way he is. We know he's the God of love, God of peace. We know he's the healer, he's the deliverer. the Savior, the Redeemer. We begin to understand His power and His authority. We begin to see Him as the holy, pure, and perfect God. We begin to see Him in His holiness, His purity, His perfection, all of His attributes. And as we see those attributes, we are being changed and transformed to His image. It's all work of the Spirit of truth that has been given to us to live in us, to reveal God. Because God is infinite and His ways are endless, and the Spirit of truth will continue to reveal to us the ways of God throughout eternity. We will continue to see God in His different dimensions, different aspects throughout eternity as the Spirit of truth reveals these things to our hearts. That's the reason we need to continue to depend on the Holy Spirit for a proper knowledge of God, proper understanding, concept and understanding of God. You cannot get this reading a book. The only way you can understand is spending time in the Word, the Bible, and with the Holy Spirit. And He releases that understanding into your heart. And then the more He does this, the more you feel at home with God. The more you get comfortable being in His presence. Some people that do not know God that much, and when the Spirit of God comes, they get afraid. They want to move away. Sometimes in churches you can see that too, when the Holy Spirit will begin to move, and all at once some believers get afraid because they have never known, they have never understood, and they have never come to that knowledge of God. And when they sense or see God begin to move, they back off. But those that have come to that relationship, they're so comfortable with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and their presence in their lives, when they see the presence of God, they want to run towards it. They want more of it. They want to pursue that, even into a deeper depth. But those that have not come into that place of understanding, knowledge of God, they will back away. They get afraid of God's presence. Those believers have not yet come into that knowledge. They're afraid. My friends, there's no reason, if you are a born-again believer, there is no reason to be afraid of God. There's no reason for you to be afraid of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is no reason for you to be afraid when God begins to manifest Himself. Do not be afraid to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit so you can come into a greater depth and understanding and walk with God. Do not be afraid to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, my friends. Do not reject that gift that God has for you. Without that gift, you cannot go into higher realms of walking with God. You are so limited. Your understanding is so limited. God is speaking to the believer saying, you have no reason to be afraid of Him. He's your Father. He loves you. He cares for you. He's not going to do anything to harm you. So why would you be afraid to receive the baptism? Why would you be afraid to receive a gift to empower you to live in a realm of walking with God and realm of victory and great faith and great power and authority? So going back to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What is the hope of His calling in your life? Christ in you, the hope of glory. For you to take Christ, who is the hope of glory, to others. Going back to this scripture, verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? So the first thing the Spirit of truth wants to do in our lives is to bring us into a proper revelation, proper understanding, and a proper relationship with God. That's the first thing that He wants to accomplish in our lives. The Spirit of truth comes into our lives when we are saved. And then from that moment on, as we spend our time in the Word and with the Holy Spirit, He will bring us into a deeper revelation of God each day, so you can grow in that revelation and the knowledge of Him. The more you know Him, the more you draw near to Him. the more you will fall in love with Him. The more you want to live for Him. The more you will want to be changed and transformed to His image. Because you will want to be like Him. And you want to please Him. So the first thing the Holy Spirit will do is to bring us into the relationship of knowing Him. And the second one is to understand our calling, to take Christ in us, the hope of glory, to others. The third thing He wants to reveal is as He enlightens our minds, so that we may know what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So we will know the riches of His inheritance. As believers, we have an inheritance. That inheritance has been invested in Christ. Jesus said, everything the Father has are mine. That's the inheritance. The Father has invested that inheritance in Christ. So as born again believers, as joint heirs with Jesus Christ, we have access to that inheritance. Now just think about the inheritance that God has placed in Jesus. We have access to that. And God is saying that He wants us to know that inheritance. The inheritance we have as saints of God, as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the body of Christ. Why is it important for us to know about the inheritance? So we can begin to walk in the inheritance, that everything we have inherited through Christ. There's a vast riches that we have inherited through Christ. Spiritual blessings, physical blessings, emotional, mental blessings, and financial and material blessings. We have received so much from God. And it is invested in Christ. And Christ is saying, you have a great inheritance that you have. And now I want you to know that. The power, the authority, the wealth of God's goodness, His mercy, His grace. Begin to understand the depth of His love, the inheritance. That inheritance includes peace of mind. Inheritance which includes freedom from sin, healing, deliverance, freedom from sickness and disease, freedom in the mind, healing in the emotions, healing of brokenhearted, deliverance from bondage, addiction, and financial blessings, and freedom from poverty, freedom from sickness and disease, mental torment. We have healing through the broken body of Jesus Christ, and part of that inheritance is we can walk in health. Part of that inheritance is we can have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding to guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus, so that we don't have to be mentally tormented. He has healed the brokenhearted. Therefore, we can be healed of emotional distress. He has brought His love, the great love, to our lives, so relationships in our lives can be healed. We can be holy and pure and blameless before Him because He has freed us from sin. All our needs can be met through Christ Jesus because He has freed us from poverty. Christ became poor for us. Through His poverty, we can be rich. We can walk in financial, material blessings as Christ has freed us from poverty. We can walk in His power and His authority. It's part of our inheritance. You have the access to that power and authority in His name because you are joint heir. That's part of your inheritance. The power and authority is part of your inheritance. And Jesus said in John 14, He says, greater things will you do because I go to the Father. Greater things will you do than these. John 14:12, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do because I go to the Father. Now that is part of our inheritance. He already said we can do the same things he did. He healed the sick. He healed the blind. He raised the dead. He preached the gospel. So that means we can do everything he did and even greater things than those. He's the one who said that. We can do greater things. Now that's part of our inheritance. Now the church has not come to that part of our inheritance. Most of the church has not even done the first part, much less the second part he's talking about in that scripture. Most of us even have not done the first part by doing the works that he did, much less doing greater works than he did. But he wants to bring the church to that place. But the way we are going to do is by understanding our inheritance. Through the Holy Spirit, as we spend time, he begins to reveal. And the more he reveals the inheritance, we begin to step into those areas and begin to operate with boldness, with faith and boldness. It takes faith to operate. It takes boldness to operate. If every believer can operate in the level, in the place that Jesus walked in, and then to go even beyond that, it's hard to even to comprehend. But that is in our inheritance, and God wants us to come into that place. Because His church is going to be a glorious church, and He wants the believers to believe and have faith that they can do these things. Jesus is the Spirit of truth. He cannot lie. If He said, the works that I did, you will also do, and even greater things you will do because I go to the Father, in that case, it is the truth, and we can believe that, and it is part of our inheritance, and we need to know that. So through the Spirit of truth, as we spend time with Him, and He brings us to these realms of understanding. First, the relationship with Him. The second, knowing our calling, Christ in us, the hope of glory, to take it to others. Then, the inheritance that we have in Him. Verse 19, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe? The next thing He wants us to know is what is the surpassing greatness of His power. The greatness of His power towards us who believe. Why? So we can be like Him, do the same thing He did, and even do the greater things that He said we will be doing. The surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe. That is part of our inheritance. Surpassing power that is available to us. So we can be everything that He has called us to be and accomplish everything He has given us to do so that we can bring glory and honor and praise to His great name. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly place. Far above all rule, authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet, and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Now, God wants each believer to come into this place of revelation, understanding, so they can grow up into Christ. It is time for the believers to grow up into Christ so they can accomplish their calling and fulfill their destiny in Christ. God has done everything He needs to do for us to accomplish our destiny. He has given us the Holy Spirit. He has given us the Word. He has given us His power and His authority and everything that is necessary for us to accomplish the work that He has given us. Now God is calling the believers to that place of maturity so that He can accomplish His will and purpose through their lives, so each one of us can bring glory and honor and praise to His great and holy name.